KALW.
The symptoms of COVID are very similar to the symptoms of climate change. It's disproportionately impacting Black and brown people.
The COVID crisis is bad, and the climate crisis is getting worse.
We're going to have a vaccine for COVID, but we're not going to have a vaccine for air pollution.
What can the pandemic teach us about how to deal with climate change? And how do we measure the toll it's taking on our mental health?
It's a deep kind of sadness as we experience the destruction of the place that we know as home.
Learning how to cope as our planet changes. It's the final episode in our week-long series on climate change. I'm Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. We continue our week-long series on how climate change is affecting the Bay Area. And a bit of a look behind the scenes. Initially, our news team set out to do this week's series last year, and we were going to air it in April. But then COVID-19 hit. We had to put our climate change reporting on pause to focus on covering the coronavirus. But of course, climate change has not paused. In this last episode of our series, we ask, how is the pandemic affecting the climate and the people working on solutions? Here's KALW science reporter Marissa Ortega-Welch.
There's this short story by Ray Bradbury I read as a kid that's haunted me ever since.
I can't believe it's really gonna happen.
Margot, I know how much you've been looking forward to this, but don't let your hopes get too high. You know, sometimes nature can be fickle.
It takes place on a planet where it rains almost all the time.
It's been 9 years since the sun paid its last visit, and then it was only for an hour.
The premise is a group of school kids are getting ready for this brief window of sunshine.
Can you hear it? What? Listen! The rain! The rain's stopping! The sun's really gonna come out!
But a bully locks one of his classmates in the closet.
William! Let me out, William!
And she misses getting to see the sun. When the bully finally lets her out, she's devastated.
You saw the sun.
Whenever I worry about what life will be like with climate change, I think about the girl in that story and her grief. Scientists have warned us that with climate change, the temperatures will become more extreme, the wildfires more frequent, the weather more unpredictable. And my fear is that we'll all have to live inside, stuck at home. So it was a strange circumstance this spring to find myself confronting that reality, but not because of climate change.
The new public health order that we're announcing will require San Franciscans to remain at home for all but the most essential outings for your safety and the safety of those around you.
The threat lurking outside wasn't hurricanes or wildfire smoke, but a new virus. Like most people, I worried about my loved ones getting sick, about not being able to leave my house. And I worried, would we all be so distracted, understandably, by the COVID crisis that we'd stop doing the work to avoid the climate crisis? It turns out, though, that the two crises are interconnected, and our response to the pandemic just may teach us something about what's in store with climate change. I want to be really clear up front. A pandemic cannot be good for the environment because it's not good for humans. But while we hide inside, things are looking a little brighter outside.
Cities around the globe are reporting less air pollution.
Normally, the air is quite a bit more polluted, but you can see from our Tiburon camera towards San Francisco, lots of blue sky. And that's
with life at a standstill, have you noticed birds singing more?
After one too many Nature is Healing, We Are the Virus posts, I was skeptical. So I called up Catalina Garzón Galvis, senior health educator with Tracking California, an organization that collects health and environment data for the state.
There have been reductions in pollution from ports and freeways due to, you know, declines in commuter traffic.
And she says people are thinking more locally.
By renewed interest in community gardening and growing your own food, supporting community-supported agriculture during this time.
A spokesperson for Recology, San Francisco's Waste Management Service, told me that composting in the city has gone way up. And Catalina says more people are turning to the outdoors for recreation since everything else is shut down.
Some cities like Oakland have created more, streets without car traffic, so opening up those streets to bike and pedestrians.
The outdoors are the new indoors. I don't know about you, but my little backyard has become my new living room. It's the least risky place to have my mom over for dinner. So in the U.S., sheltering in place hasn't meant we're stuck indoors like I'd feared. We're actually encouraged to go outside.
Go out. Go for a run. Go for a walk. Go out. Wear a mask. Stay 6 feet away. We're not telling people to just lock in.
But it's not all blue skies. Catalina says even though pollution from car commutes is down,
we may be actually getting more emissions than usual in some places.
A Stanford University study showed that methane emissions from things like cattle farms and oil production that are significant contributors to global warming are reaching record levels this year, despite the pandemic. So crisis not averted. In fact, the climate crisis, it's already here. We see it in the Bay Area in the form of more heat waves and devastating wildfires. That has Dr. Linda Rudolph from the Center for Climate Change and Health worried.
What does it mean to respond to a wildfire event or an extreme heat event during the time of COVID?
She says we can remember what it was like during the last big wildfires. Some people had to evacuate their homes and live in shelters. We were all choking on smoke. This year, evacuation shelters could put people at risk of getting COVID. And the rest of us will be stuck at home with no air-conditioned offices or libraries to escape to for a break.
These are times when we also see increases in the number of people going to the emergency room to address the impacts of heat or wildfire smoke. And there's already concerns about the stresses and strains on our healthcare system because of the pandemic.
If you have underlying conditions like asthma or heart disease, wildfire smoke is particularly dangerous.
That's also one of the contributing factors to the worst outcomes with COVID in Black and brown communities.
Because people of color are more likely to live in neighborhoods near freeways or heavy industry where they're exposed to more air pollution.
That is the biggest health situation within what's outdoors is coming indoors.
Margaret Gordon, better known as Miss Margaret from the West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project, has been sounding this alarm for years.
Communities like West Oakland were already disproportionately impacted by health issues prior to COVID. Now it's just added on. It's just one more thing for you have to worry about.
Miss Margaret says while the government's response to COVID hasn't been a great success, it's still better than what she's seen in response to the climate crisis.
We're going to have a vaccine for COVID, but we're not going to have a vaccine for air pollution. We will not have a complete structural how to deal with climate justice.
I am curious how the pandemic has impacted climate justice work. Do activists feel like everyone is too distracted by COVID to think about climate change?
Hi, my name is Isha Clark. I am 17. I am born, raised, and educated in Oakland, California. And I am an activist and co-founder with Youth vs. Apocalypse.
If you know who Greta Thunberg is, then you need to know who Isha Clark is. Or maybe you've already seen the viral video of her and a group of activists giving a copy of the Green New Deal to Senator Feinstein. I asked Isha how the pandemic has affected her organizing work.
Of course, in the beginning, it sucked. I was like, we're going to have to completely reimagine activism.
So her group has been turning to social media to engage people while sheltering in place. Meanwhile, though, she says she's seen the pandemic be a wake-up call for people.
I think what it is like this general awareness of like this insecurity right now. I think it's really people being scared and like viscerally experiencing what we've been talking about for a long time.
For me, I think all the emotions I have right now, sadness over people dying, rage over the injustice of who gets sick, anxiety because of our uncertain future, these are all emotions I expected to feel with climate change.
The symptoms almost of COVID are very similar to
the symptoms of climate change. I mean, we're stuck indoors. There's this economic collapse that's happening. It's disproportionately impacting Black and brown people and low-income folks.
And Isha says she sees people connecting the dots from the injustices of COVID to police violence and anti-Black racism to climate change.
True climate justice is about dismantling those larger systems of oppression in every way that they exist.
The pandemic has been like a test run for climate change, and the test run isn't going well. Here's Dr. Linda Rudolph again.
Experts knew for decades that we were likely to have a pandemic, and we didn't prepare adequately. And even once it was upon us, we didn't respond with the urgency or the robust response that was required to really prevent catastrophic impacts. And we're going down that same path right now with climate change and health.
Isha agrees, and she hopes that galvanizes people.
The pandemic is something that is containable. But if we don't take action on climate change right now, this, what we're living through, will become a new reality for human beings. And I don't want this to be my reality.
I think about the girl in that Ray Bradbury story. I don't want this to be Isha's reality either. In Oakland, I'm Marissa Ortega Welch for Crosscurrents. COVID-19 has closed our favorite venues and gathering places, but what's remained open is the great outdoors. And nature has helped many of us cope during this pandemic. But nature itself is under threat of becoming diminished as beaches submerge, forests burn, and unbearable heat covers more and more of the globe. We're already witnessing how this devastation affects people. As climate change intensifies, what will our mental health look like in the future? Dr. Robin Cooper is a psychiatrist and teaches at UC San Francisco. She's co-founder of Climate Psychiatry Alliance. It's an organization calling for psychiatrists to do more to prepare for the impact climate change will have on our mental health. KALW's Janae Darden spoke with Dr. Cooper about how to process it all.
You co-founded an organization that's looking at preparing the psychiatry industry for climate change. What issues did you notice that made you feel like it's time to act?
I've been involved in climate issues for over a decade. But as I got more deeply involved in the political arena, I began to learn much more that climate crisis really is a health crisis, that the climate impacts that we're having are massive threats to a whole range of health issues. And as a psychiatrist, I'm also a physician. But as I got more deeply involved in the health impacts, it became clearer and clearer to me that there was an extraordinary absence of psychiatrists speaking out and knowing and understanding the psychiatric impacts of climate change.
So it's interesting that you say climate change is a health issue, and I think we're recognizing that during COVID. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And it also has pointed the light at major problems that we have in our healthcare system. We know that the climate impacts have greatest impacts on people who don't have access to power, who live in poverty. People of color have the most severe impacts of climate change, both heat impacts and disaster impacts and air pollution impacts. And we know that that's exactly what we're seeing with COVID.
Yeah, I interviewed an Oakland City official recently, and they told me that lack of trees in urban areas can cause warmer temperatures. But I read an article where you projected what's to come for our mental health as the environment gets warmer. Can you share some of those projections?
Heat is the most significant weather of related event that causes death and morbidity, trouble, health impacts. But in the realm of psychiatry and mental health, heat has increase in violence. That has a huge impact on domestic abuse, on violence against women. And I am very worried about that in terms of child abuse. We know that there's an increase in suicide rates that is directly related to increased heat. There's also an increase in depression and depressive language. There's impacts on sleep, and sleep impairments has wide impacts on your mood and also on thinking. And we know that with increased heat, you don't think as well.
I want to ask about water rising. I want to look at an extreme example. You know, I mean, parks that we go to now that may be gone in the future, neighborhoods may be gone, you know, islands washed away. What's the psychological impact of that, of just not having access to land?
One of the first communities that's being displaced en masse are Native indigenous population in the bayou of Louisiana. And they can't live in their homeland. And that's going to be happening all over the world. And that sets off issues of mass population displacement. Where are people going to go? How are they going to get there? So the impact on your psychic well-being and your experience of being connected to the place, the earth, that we have known as our home, has huge implications. And there's this fancy word that addresses that. It's called scolothalgia. And the word encompasses the idea of the loss of solace in the place that we know as home. It's a deep kind of grieving.
And again, as you said, this is not just going to impact people in rural areas. This is going to impact those of us who live in the cities too, as well. And, you know, you talked about how you went to the mountains, you know, because the chaos of COVID is happening. I go to the beach to relax too. And I'm very open about having anxiety and depression. And when I see that beautiful blue water and I hear those birds, my anxiety just drops. Why is nature so healing for us?
The sounds of water have a particular impact on calming. We know that the smells of outdoor and the views have a very, very healing quality and are very useful in managing both depression and anxiety. And those are big concerns about how we're going to be able to bring those into our lives as we face this very profound changing world.
How do you see the industry in the future when climate change hits? What do you hope are in place?
Well, wait a minute. When climate change hits, climate change we are feeling it.
Oh, okay, let me backtrack. When it really hits, when it hits even harder.
But you've done something that I said that people want to do. It's not here, it's off there in the future, it's not there. So the field of psychiatry and psychology and health all have to look at this at multiple levels, at what do people need in their individual health sphere and getting at the roots of the causes of this. And that is, for us around climate change, our deeply dependency on fossil fuels. So moving to a clean energy system, and that's one thing that there is a lot of mobilization around. And I will say, in regards to mental health care has to be funded in what we call parity to general health care. And so whether that is health care for all in some form, and that it not be tied to employment, are all issues that we have to face.
So I'm thinking about people with schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, and we know people with mental health challenges live 10 years less than the average population just because they don't have access to information on preventable diseases and preventable health issues. So what about them? How will they be affected?
The severely mentally ill are one of the most impacted population in terms of impacts of climate change. They die three times the rate during extreme heat. They're hospitalized much more during extreme heat. The medications that we use have a direct impact on difficulties in maintaining the body's temperature. We need a much more robust community mental health and public health system.
I know you said that facing the future, recognizing that it's happening now, that will help us go forward. Can you expand on that? Because as you know, a lot of us are in denial. We don't want to talk about it.
This is something that is intruding and happening in our lives now. But what we do now can make a difference in how severe the future will be. I don't think we're going to come out of this smelling roses. There will be changes in the way the world is, but we can tolerate the deep anxiety about it by connecting with other people, by engaging in direct solutions. And by so doing, we will be able to have an impact on how severely the climate impacts actually are.
That was psychiatrist Dr. Robin Cooper speaking with KLW's Janae Darden. You can listen to the whole week-long series on climate change and its emotional and psychological impact at klw.org. Today's Cross Currents team includes Christopher Agusa, Valen Irisibar, Imran Ali Malik, True Quinn, and Babette Thomas. Our engineers are James Rollins and Gabe Graben. Production manager is Shireen Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.